This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Our thanks again to Jesse Agler. Bittersweet.
Makes me sad every time.
Dude. Actually, it's not even sweet at all that we.
Yeah, there's no stuff that's sweet about it.
There's nothing sweet about ending our Tuesdays with Jesse Agler.
It's bitter.
If I had my way, we'd probably just continue them through the off season. We don't really have anything new to talk about
so,
with Jesse every
how's
week.
How's it going?
just like having him on and. Just makes me feel
better.
Comfortable and feel better to have Jesse on Tuesdays.
Well, you know, you get in a routine, and Tuesdays with Jesse Agler is a routine, and it's been a routine for many, many years. And when it ends, it is a bit jarring, you know, and it's not like we're going to pivot to, you know, Tuesdays with somebody talking football. You know what I mean? It's just weird to not talk to Jesse every Tuesday.
Mm. Well, we could talk some football.
Damn.
I mean, we are going to talk some football on our Rindle Report. We have some audio in the Rindle Report that I have not heard yet. I've seen it written about.
I've seen it transcribed.
Yeah.
There it was. Glory hole.
Elite.
It's so why don't we just get
Pauly's heard it.
Let's get right to the Rindle Report with our breaking football news and the Jerry Jones audio.
Oh, my Lord. And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
Good fire
morning,
away,
gentlemen.
Buddy.
Let's get to the breaking news first. Get you guys' quick thoughts. The Jets have agreed to a trade with the Las Vegas Raiders. Devontae Adams, former All-Pro wide receiver, he is headed to New York to be a Jet, reunited with Aaron Rodgers. They played together for a long time in Green Bay, and they are reunited now in the Big Apple. The Jets lost yesterday on Monday Night Football, so they're getting a little bit of reinforcements trying to turn their season around. And the Raiders will receive a third-round draft pick for Devontae Adams. It's a conditional third-round pick, which means it could improve to a second-round pick. For that to happen, Devontae Adams must be a first- or second-team All-Pro this year, or be on the Jets' active roster for the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. That would upgrade it to a second-round pick. But it's always wild in the NFL. You see it often when a big-name player is traded. It's usually for like a fourth-round draft pick. And you just forget how valuable draft picks are to NFL teams, I think.
Yeah, and you know, the reason why this hadn't taken place, you know, in the last couple of weeks after they already started the rumor mill was because no one was willing to even meet that, like, probably second round request. Right. Probably the Raiders were asking for a second round pick, which I think for most of us would go, top wide receiver like Devontae Adams, all you want is a second round pick. Yeah, do it today.
Make your quarterback happy.
But well, NFL GMs are like, no way we're giving a full second round pick for a a rental wide receiver. That's just no chance.
When you have a disgruntled player, as Devontae Adams was, and then you have Aaron Rodgers who wanted to get his guy in, now the a lot of the NFL pundits this morning are tweeting about, so wait. So you're Aaron Rodgers wanted Devontae Adams. He got Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers allegedly said he had nothing to do with the firing of Robert Saleh, but people are supposed to believe that. Now, maybe they're not related at all. Maybe he just wants more weapons, which he obviously needs. But it is interesting how the Aaron Rodgers era is going in New York right now. And he will get his guy who does have – he's been. I have him on one of my fantasy teams. I haven't played him in a couple weeks. He's got a bum hamstring. I bet you his hamstring's feeling better. I bet you it's feeling much, much better this morning.
He was already on a flight to New York overnight, the red eye, so as this was all being reported and finalized. He's doing the physicals with the Jets, and then it will be official.
It's good to go.
Aaron Rodgers, he didn't play poorly last night. He still has some skills, but honestly, the Jets-Aaron Rodgers era has been nothing short of a disaster. So far. Yeah. Missed the entire last season other than four plays. And this year, they're off to a 2-4 start. As Brandon
Correct.
Points out,
that's a great, great,
same
great
record as the Raiders right now.
He said he went from a 2-4 Raiders team to a 2-4 Jets team. Congrats, bro.
I mean, you went from a 2-4 Raiders team with zero hope to a 2-4 Jets team that at least, I mean, you know, they're in win-now mode. You've only got Aaron Rodgers guaranteed for the rest of this season.
Right.
And they thought this was a two-year window where they could win the Super Bowl. Now it's a one-year window that they're hoping they can somehow sneak into the playoffs as a wild card at like 10-7 if they can bounce back and win 8 of their next 11 games before the end of the year. That's what they're looking for right now with Devontae Adams.
All right, that's enough about this. We have reams of audio to get through from Jerry Jones that is just phenomenal.
Jerry Jones, with the return of football season, I kind of forget every year that on Tuesdays he does a weekly interview with 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Jerry Jones, owner and GM of the Dallas Cowboys, who got absolutely bodied on Jerry Jones' birthday, by the way.
Yeah, probably not super happy, not in a great mood today. And I don't have the setup of this, but they were going over the games. Jerry Jones threatens these two hosts. Do you know who does the morning show over there?
I think it's RJ Choppy and another dude that I don't know.
We've pulled the Jerry Jones clips from their show
many times
over the years. Here's Jerry Jones threatening their livelihoods when the conversation went awry.
Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, God.
You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
God. Oh, God.
Jerry,
okay. Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
What?
Now, listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans and a lot of great listeners. And I am very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened Sunday. Now, I'm not talking to these yahoos on the end of this phone. I'm talking to you, the fans that are listening this morning. So let's just go ahead. I'm trying to answer your questions, man. You want some conversation this morning? You're getting it.
Yeah.
Damn it, audio didn't play on YouTube. Sorry, guys.
You missed the first 30 seconds.
But, yeah, essentially, I think what happened was Jerry had, you know, some question to the effect, some probably very broad question by the hosts of,
changes can be made.
Yeah, Jerry, what the heck's gone on? The last few years have been this. Jerry wanted no part. He's like, I'm not going to do it on our 10-minute interview hit. I'm not going to listen to you guys. But the defensiveness, clearly he's really bothered by it.
Well, they weren't coming off of, you know, a heartbreaking loss. They got absolutely destroyed at home. They got embarrassed by the Detroit Lions at home. That's That's one of those losses that goes beyond just one L, you know, on your record.
Yeah, it feels like four.
That's one where you kind of do want to do some reevaluating.
Some soul searching, yeah, if you will.
Exactly. So, you know, it's up to the hosts to make the, you know, ask some questions that are probably a little more pointed than maybe the usual interview. Now Jerry certainly is correct. I don't know if he can get those guys fired. I mean, he certainly implied that he could have, you know, get them replaced or have someone else in there asking the questions of him. If he doesn't like their questions, we'll get someone else to ask those questions. I don't know how the dynamic works. I'm pretty sure that Jerry Jones, if he wanted to throw his weight around enough, could put enough pressure on any radio station or television station in Dallas.
Zero chance.
You don't think he could?
There's no, on no planet does the owner of the Dallas Cowboys get to decide what questions are asked of him.
No planet.
No planet. He doesn't own that radio station.
He doesn't.
They're partners, right?
But they clearly
he
have
might own it.
He might, yeah. He might.
No, it's an Odyssey station.
That's fair enough.
It's an Odyssey. It's our sister station.
Wow. I mean, he can say, I'm not going to come on your station anymore.
Absolutely. And he can say, I'm not coming on anymore.
And I don't even want our listeners to listen to me. talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
no, well, that's really uncomfortable.
Let me explain it this way: so they obviously have either a contract or some sort of weekly segment set up with Jerry Jones, and if the station wants to keep that weekly segment, and the only way Jerry will do it is if they put different hosts in there. Then it'll be up to the management to decide
whether that's
worth it or not. Now,
the management
good management
needs to
should defend their hosts.
All day.
But that doesn't always happen. Sometimes management goes, no, we think Jerry's more valuable than our hosts. And then they'll just say, we'll just put someone else in there that Jerry's okay with. So it's not that he can't do that. It really depends on the management of the station in Dallas. I will also point out, I don't think throwing out the good with the dishwater is an actual expression.
Isn't it the baby?
I think it's the baby.
You taught
with
me
the
that.
I think
you
it's
taught
the baby
me that.
With the bath water.
I got that line as well.
It's the expression.
You
not,
taught, you
we
taught
can't
me that.
Throw out the good with the dishwater. I think he just made that up. That's not an actual expression.
Well, stay tuned next Tuesday when we break down next week's Jerry Jones interview, because I'm sure he'll have another nugget for us.
I mean, maybe. Maybe not. Maybe he
Maybe
says, I'm not going on anymore with those
Maybe
guys.
He's done.
Which, by the way, who looks like the idiot there? It's not the hosts. It's Jerry. It's Jerry for not being able to say, again, we always talk about this. There's always the easy answer that Jerry can easily say, I know, guys, it has been terrible. We're going to write this ship. You know, whatever. Give him the coach speak. He's incapable of. He's incapable. He's an egomaniac. I grew up in that town. I know that. People that I, my mother knows him very, very, very well. Very well. When my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, Jerry Jones called her and helped her. I know Jerry Jones, okay? He's an egomaniac. An egomaniac. There's no one bigger than him.
He
literally thinks today, I'm going to throw my weight around. If the bosses over there at 105.3 The Fan don't defend their guys for asking a basic question, that's pretty tired.
In some ways, he's a great owner in that
he loves his players, yes.
He's built his own stadium for the most part. He has done what you ask a lot of owners to do. But he is also his own personnel guy. You know, he's in his his 80s now, right? Most GMs,
most
GMs around
old.
Football, I'm pretty sure, are not in their 80s, and you wouldn't hire someone if you were the owner to, hey, who am I going to have run my team? How about this 80-year-old dude? I'm going to have him run the team. But that's essentially Jerry has named himself to run his team. And I just don't think that he's really ready to acknowledge the fact that perhaps the football that he knew has passed him by a little bit, and I think that's what Cowboys fans are most concerned about. A guy running the team that is no longer in touch with the modern game because, well, all of us as we age, we lose a little touch with, you know, what's going on, you know, in the here and now. And you just never get that back. And as much as you want to try, Jerry, they just want to know, Jerry, can you acknowledge that you may have some shortcomings in this role and that perhaps these questions are valid about the Cowboys' lack of success now in recent years?
It's crazy. I mean, my mom's boss has worked with that dude for 40 years, have known each other. And yeah, I mean, a genuinely, like, honest guy when it comes to speaking his mind, as you can tell. But he's got no business in the position that he's in right now, man. It really hasn't for many, many years. I think every Cowboy fan would tell you that.
All right, and then finally, I've got a pretty wild story. You guys remember, was it last year, the fishing championships?
Oh, my favorite story we've ever done.
The lead weight and all of that. I've got a similar story here, and it's from the World Conquer Championships. Now, I have never heard of the World Conquer Championships or even know what conquer is.
This is C-O-N-K-E-R.
Conquer. Yes,
Conquers.
C-O-N-Q-U. Yes, no.
Okay.
Conquer. And basically, it involves, it's an old British and Irish game for children where you put a, you take a chestnut, and you tie a string, it's on the end of the string, and you are up against somebody else, and you whip your string with the chestnut on it and try to break the other person's chestnut.
Okay. This is an actual...
How do you even hit the other chestnut? That seems like that would be very hard to do.
First chestnut to break, you lose.
So you just go back and forth?
Yeah. And they have a World Conquers Championship. And the winner this year was an 82-year-old man named David Jenkins from Northamptonshire, and he won. He has been competing in the World Championships every year since 1977. Had never won. Finally did. Except,
oh no,
there's some foul play being reported.
PEDs.
the guy that finished second, Alistair Johnson Ferguson. He's a 23-year-old kid.
23!
Going up against this old man. And he said, I'm suspicious of foul play. I've expressed my surprise to the organizers. My conker disintegrated in one hit, and that just does not happen. It takes several hits. When 82-year-old David Jenkins was checked after
confronted
this,
with the evidence, yeah,
there's a steel chestnut in his pocket.
Oh.
Now, he claims the rules are you reach into a bag full of chestnuts, and you pick your chestnut, and you get one swap. You can reach back into the bag and pull out another chestnut if you don't like it. And he claims he didn't do anything wrong, but when he was searched, he was found with a steel chestnut, and now people are outraging in the World Conquer Championship.
Steel chestnut.
Just like the fishermen that filled fish with lead weights and won their championship.
Wow. So now that I'm watching a clip that you're playing, so one person holds their chestnut just still, like at the end of a string, it's just dangling straight down. And the other one is trying to hit it really hard with the chestnut at the end of their string. I have no idea what skill, other than like making contact with the chestnut, but how do you know which chestnut's going to break? I mean, isn't that just determined by the genetics of the chestnut?
Look at this. Please,
like, what's
the video?
What's the skill level involved here in Conkers?
I have no idea. I didn't even know that people did chestnut swinging as competition. I have no idea. Hand-eye coordination, as somebody says? I have no idea.
This is what we used to do before there were, like, iPads.
Right.
No, we didn't.
This was entertainment for people.
No, we did not do that.
It still is for some people.
For anyone who always harkens back to the good old days.
Chestnut swinging. That's what you're missing. Rolling a tire down the street with a stick. You guys missed that?
Good old
days. Cow, dude.
I just can't imagine telling my kids, go out and just play some Conkers outside.
He says, I only carry the steel chestnut around in my pocket for humor.
Ah, of course.
Did not use it during the event. People aren't buying it.
People will cheat at anything, I guess, is the moral of the story. If you can win it, you can cheat at it as well.
That's incredible. This 80, this guy's just wanting to win one time. He's like, you know what?
I've been doing this for 60 years.
I'm going to go with the steel chestnut this time. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Amazing.
Incredible.
All right. When we come back, we're going to give away those tickets to Orville Peck. They were not won during Take on Woods, so your chance to win those coming to Cal Coast Credit Union Open Air Theater on October 26th. Stay tuned for that after check traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, just one baseball game today. It is game two of the American League Championship Series. I believe a 4:38 first pitch. Cleveland Guardians and New York Yankees. The NL Series shifting to New York for game three tomorrow. And that'll also be an evening game, 5:08 first pitch. It'll be Walker Buehler against Luis Severino in game two of that series. Woods is, I feel like this is the chance for the Mets. You know, Buehler gave up a few runs against the Padres, has been vulnerable, did bounce back nicely in that game.
Yeah, a lot of it wasn't his fault.
And that's true. I mean, you know, had Manny not made that heads-up base-running play, had they not had a couple infield singles, that six-run inning that was the only runs that they scored in the last three games might not have happened at all. So
Miguel Rojas runs and flips the ball instead of running 14 feet
right
to step on the bag. I mean, you know, it all went right in that inning for the Padres and all went wrong for Walker Buehler. But he certainly did not pitch poorly. Definitely something to build on and has been a big game pitcher in his career. So Dodgers have to feel pretty good about it. They also have every single one of their high leverage relievers ready to go. So they will deploy them, I'm assuming, in game three a little more often than they did in game two, which was not at all.
But really the Mets do as well. With the day off, you know, they should
can reset a little bit.
Okay to reset for at least a day. I mean, if you start using guys 3 out of 4 days, then maybe as you go on the series, the Mets will have more reason for concern. But to me, this is a good opportunity for the Mets to come home.
Sure.
Get the game, get ahead 2-1, just like the Padres did. Now, best of sevens, different than best of five, but you know, you take that 2-1 lead and you put yourself in a much better position to advance in the series. So, you know, usually these odd games in series are the pivotal type games because usually they're either tied or if it's 2-0, you know, it's pretty much over if it's 3-0. So you have to win that one.
Yeah.
So it tends to be that the odd numbered games are the more pivotal ones in a series than the even numbered games. Not, I mean, they're all equal, obviously, in the end, but they definitely seem to swing the series more.
Yes. I agree with you.
Thank you.
100%.
I appreciate you agreeing with me.
It's very good at analysis by you.
I appreciate that as well. We talked a little with Jesse about, we'll get into more of the players, I think, and the moves the Padres should not make during the offseason, but you brought up Kyle Higashioka behind the plate. And to me, obviously, Higgy is going to have to explore the free agent market.
Sure.
You know,
he's entitled to a raise.
He's a free agent for the first time in his career. The timing is great for him. 17 regular season home runs, 3 in the postseason. You're not going to do much more to bolster your case, you know, in free agency than that. At the same time, I would imagine that most clubs will look at him and say, he's never really been a full-time catcher. This was like the most he's ever caught in his career, did well, but I'm not sure that there's a bunch of teams who are going, we need a starting catcher. We can definitely just plug him in for 115 games behind the plate.
Sure.
I think he definitely should be part of the Padres' plans, though, for 2025 going forward. If you can find a way to come to an agreement, you know, and I don't think that means that you stop looking for catching either. If there is another way to deepen your catching core, find someone else.
I think
you
he's
know.
35 years old.
Yeah, he was in the minors for like a decade before he got his shot with the Yankees.
So here is from September 19th, the 2024-25 free agent class. Diaz, who is also a Padres catcher right now. Kyle Higashioka, Danny Jansen, Carson Kelly, Gary Sanchez, Jacob Stallings, Tucker Barnhart, Yan Gomes, Grandal, Austin Hedges, Martin Maldonado, James McCann. I mean, none of these names are really blowing your hair back. So I can't, again, I don't know how much Higgy's going to come in the open market, but I would not mind having him back. you know, for but another
the,
year or
two. What's the alternative, as though?
Well, the alternative is Luis Camposano gets yet another shot because he's still under contract.
I mean, right now, he will get another
shot. He will,
shot,
yeah.
Even with Higgy coming back.
Sure.
I mean, you don't. You need at least two catchers, if not three. And the Padres, until Ethan Salas is ready, and by the way, Ethan, you know, competing in the Arizona Fall League right now. I think he had a couple of doubles yesterday, threw out a couple of more runners, but still, is he 18 or did he just turn 19? One way or the other, doesn't feel like you're going to be counting on Ethan Salas next season. So you're going to need to find two catchers. Maybe Campy's one of them. Maybe Higgy's one of them. Maybe those are your two guys coming back, possibly. I don't think that's enough. I think you still need to look for more catching this offseason if you're the San Diego Padres than even just those two guys, because I'm not totally comfortable going into the season with just Kyle Higashioka and Luis Camposano as my catchers.
Well, Diaz is also another option to bring back on a short deal. So, you know, so if somebody else decides to pay Higgy and, you know, you do have Camposano, Elias Diaz is also another decent option that shouldn't cost you a ton.
He's a free agent as well,
correct?
Right? So, I mean, again, you're starting at the same ground zero as everybody else,
right,
that needs catching.
Yeah, exactly. And so Diaz, Martin Perez, Tanner Scott, Higgy, Profar, Peralta, and Solano, they are all free agents. They can all go where they please in the next year. And I do foresee a couple of those guys probably being looked at by the San Diego Padres as guys to bring back. I don't think it will be all of them. I really, really don't. I think Tanner Scott's probably the one you can kiss goodbye. As much as I don't want to, as much as I would love to see Scott here.
I mean, that is fair.
But I think the rest of them are all, you know, potential to stay. I mean,
and not because he's not worth it or the Padres don't need him. They need him and he is worth it. They have other positions, starting pitcher, catcher. They're going to need to devote money at first before they go after bullpen arms. If they need bullpen arms next year, A.J. Preller will do what he did at the trade deadline.
Correct.
And acquire them.
Correct.
With some of his prospect capital that he always does. That
yeah.
makes more sense than going out and spending $100 million on a relief pitcher.
Correct.
This offseason.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I would do anything to have Tanner Scott here for the next few years, it doesn't seem like the smartest use of money, but I've been wrong many, many times before, and weird things have happened, but I would love to have him
It'd
back here.
It'd be a smart use of money.
Depends
Maybe not
on
the smartest use of money.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like you're going to get you know what you're going to get from him. It's going to be elite.
I mean, if they signed Tanner Scott to a 4-year deal and we had him and Suarez, the 8 and 9 guys, 9 and 8, whatever, flip them, however, play the hot hand. But if you had that for the next 3 or 4 years, I'd be like, all right, not my job to figure out how it works.
I take my chances.
Money, but yeah. Go for it.
I would love it.
I'm not mad about it.
I would love it.
All right,
I love it. I love that guy.
Bonus giveaway right now. We get that pair of tickets to Orville Peck at the CalCoast Credit Union Open Air Theater on Saturday, October 26th. Limited tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com, but you can be the fifth caller right now, 833-288-0973. Win that pair of tickets by calling now, 833-288-0973, Orville Peck at the CalCoast Credit Union Open Air Theater.
I'd like you to hear some Orville Peck and get your take on it.
I'm very curious to hear some Orville Peck. We'll come back. Final segment of Ben and Woods. Get you ready for Annie and Elston next here on 97.3 The Fan.
The Phillies, Benny, with some breaking news this morning. Did you see that?
No, because my computer has died.
Oh.
The charger is not working, so I am looking at a black screen in front of me.
They have extended manager Rob Thompson through 2026, so I wonder if the next chip that will fall is maybe a Mike Schilt extension. I wonder if that's being discussed. Now, so I remember after last year, they do the end of the season Zoom. Have you heard anything about that? Remember how...
I have not.
Remember how gnarly it was, because we logged into the end of the season Zoom and there was A.J. Preller and there was no Bob Melvin. And the first question, you know, A.J. did his speech and, hey, listen, you know, this went bad, this went good, whatever. And then it was, AJ, where's Bob? I think it was Bernie Wills. Where's Bob Melvin, the manager? He's not available today. He's moving.
Moving in Arizona.
I'll never forget where I was. I was sitting in front of my computer, and my chin hit my chest, and I went, that's not good. I'm texting you guys furiously going, there's something amiss. There's something awry here. No, and Ben, ever the optimist. Well, no, people do have to move. And, I mean, it is kind of a pain in the balls to have to move. And, I mean, could be dealing with the movers right now. Just timed out that way. And I'm like, there's something, something's wrong here. Something's terribly, terribly wrong here. I don't expect that to be the case this year. But I have not heard anything about that. I'm looking forward to that.
Now, last year they knew exactly the date in which the season was going to end in advance.
Pretty much,
yeah. And they could kind of schedule things and plan things out this year.
Do they wait till after the World Series to do it, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think they could. I mean, I think they could do it at any time.
The week after the season ended. Season ended on a Sunday. I think it was like Tuesday.
Yeah. So, but again, they didn't know the season was going to end on Friday. And maybe they're just trying to figure out what, you know, is best in terms of an exit, end of season news conference strategy. I don't have as many urgent questions this year as I did last year. You know, coming off the year that they had and the disappointment of 2023, there were like legitimate, what's the future direction of this team looking like? Questions to ask. This year, it's kind of more the standard. All right, you've got free agents to replace. You know, what are you looking at in terms of health-wise for the offseason? But I don't think it's nearly as urgent as it was last year.
Yeah. No massive stories in The Athletic or the Union Tribune about the rift between the manager and president of baseball operations.
The knowing that you were going to end up trading a you know, generational type talent like Juan Soto, like, we knew when the season was over that was the last we'd seen of Juan Soto. The only question was when, to whom, and for how much, right? And so all of those things. I will say, man, it is definitely a more refreshing vibe going into that this year's Zoom than last.
It's refreshing. I would imagine that AJ Preller is once again formulating a, you know, multi-point strategy in the offseason. It's not, you know, AJ, from what I've learned from him in the past, is he doesn't necessarily, now maybe other GMs do the same thing, but you get the sense, at least when we watch baseball, all right, here's the hole we need to fill. And then you put together the list of players that you want and you go after to fill that hole. With AJ, his strategies are always very multifaceted. Like, they fork off, okay, well, if we take this path, then there's these branches that we can go off of. But there's like four or five different focuses. Now, maybe we go all in on pitching, or maybe we don't go. Maybe we go in on catching and, you know, make a giant blockbuster. You just mentioned that, you know, Wilson Contreras is a name that could be on the trade market.
They've talked about unloading a lot of pieces in St. Louis. They're looking to do sort of a reset there. They're going to get rid of Goldschmidt. He's as good as gone. Wilson Contreras, you know, they're going to try to find takers for some of these guys and move on and reset and start getting back to the Cardinal way, as they like to.
The one thing that you can be sure of with A.J. Preller, there will be some significant move that we don't have any idea at this moment.
Have we ever actually called one right?
Not really.
No.
I mean,
never. 0-700.
Will it be in the starting rotation? Will it be in the lineup? Who knows where, what direction? But whatever that move is, will then, you know, paint the picture of what the other moves are going to be. Last year, it was the Juan Soto decision was absolutely enormous in, you know, framing how they approached that offseason. Depending on what they got from the Yankees, totally changed what they needed to do then after that move. They got some pitching that helped them formulate the rest of their strategy for the offseason. They picked up a second catcher, which turned out to be big in that deal. But, you know, if that move, even if they make it and it has different parts, you have a totally different plan in your offseason. So it's very hard to speculate on what the Padres' offseason is going to look like until you know what AJ's first big domino is going to be.
Think about all the transactions made last year. And as Jesse said earlier in the show, if you missed it, we had him on at 8:35, the great Jesse Agler. Half of the roster was different than it was in spring training. When we went out to spring training to, you know, hang out, do our interviews and stuff like we always do, I mean, it was a totally different look. Totally different look on the postseason roster. You know, we didn't have Donovan Solano. We didn't have Peralta. We didn't have half these guys. Literally half those guys weren't there. We never met them. You know, so
it's funny because in even numbered years, the last few years, the roster at the end of the season has been very different in a good way in terms of adding Juan Soto in 2022, the moves that they made in 2020 to bolster the pitching staff. They didn't work out that well, but, you know, adding Clevinger and Nola and everything they did in 2020. This year, reshaping the bullpen, adding Luis Arraez during the season. In the odd number of years, the roster at the end of the year was dismal, kind of almost compared to the start of the year. With injuries, you had, you know, pitchers like Jake Arrieta and Vince Velasquez, you know, trying to squeeze them out at the end of the year. I mean, yeah, whatever is the case, the roster at the end of AJ's years always looks very different than the roster at the beginning.
Yeah, and it will be massively interesting to see what Roki Sasaki does. You know, massively, massively interesting to not only us, but our neighbors up north as well, that probably figure they've got a bead on them as well. Got the, you know, it's the international bonus pool money, so it's all pretty much the same. Where does he want to pitch? Does he want to be a big leaguer? Is he going to be able to work that out? Is a team going to just let him go without a big, massive posting fee that they have to wait a couple of more seasons on? So there's a lot. I mean, if he is hell-bent on pitching in the big leagues in 2025, I like our chances at being in the mix for him.
Yeah, but there's so many. You have to both, you know, he has to be posted or he has to be allowed to come over. And then the Padres have to beat out 29 other teams because everyone's going to be interested.
Correct.
But if you did get him, it totally changes your focus in the offseason.
You could get Tanner Scott then if you get Sasaki.
It totally changes your offseason focus. So, again, a lot of speculation right now is premature for what may be happening, but we'll kind of go down those paths with you in the days to come and the different directions that the Padres can take. All right, we're going to check traffic. Paulie's going to call up a little Orville Peck because Woods wants me to hear this artist that we're giving away tickets to this week.
Yeah, I think it's important that you know.
We'll do that next on 97.3 The Fan. All right, again, so
haunting Western.
This sounds like he is in a Quentin Tarantino soundtrack.
Yeah, there's definite vibes there.
Or something like a Westworld, kind of futuristic, but Western at the same time.
South African country musician.
Really?
With the Mandalorian, the combination of both Western and modern together.
It's really
interesting.
Good. Yeah, very, very interesting.
I assume we have tickets all week long that we're going to be giving away on that one, Paulie.
Where's he playing, Paulie?
Calco's Credit Union in October 26th.
He's playing Calco's Credit Union.
Yeah, that's the San Diego State, right?
Okay.
Yes,
Calco's Credit Union.
What's the one?
Oh, it's
SDCCU is the
that's Chula Vista. The one down in Chula Vista. Okay. This is the one at San Diego State.
They used to call the Oat. Yeah,
yeah. That's outside.
Yeah,
open air theater.
Great, great venue. That's a good venue for him. He's really talented, and it's kind of that creepy Tarantino vibe music, but very, very talented guy.
As soon as I heard him, it sounded like "You'll Be a Woman," like Pulp Fiction.
So good. Yeah, I like it.
All right, I do. I could listen to that as well.
Perfect.
So, all right, good to know a little more about Orville Peck. Orville is, I mean, how many Orvilles do you know?
None.
One.
No, zero.
Mr. Redenbacher.
Mr. Redenbacher.
Orville Peck and Orville Redenbacher.
Well, no, Orville Wright.
Okay.
Was the Orville and Wilbur, famous plane inventors.
Fair enough.
Orville.
North Island Credit Union is the one in Chula Vista. They've changed it so many times.
Coors
Amphitheater. That's exactly
Sleep
right.
Train.
Sleep Train.
Cricket.
Yeah.
Cricket.
God dang.
I think it was Cricket when I first moved down here.
Yeah, you just ruined my real or fake for Thursday. Sponsors for the Chula Vista Music Venue in San Diego.
Guzzinator says, I'm a fan of Orville Redenbacher. I'm not. The smell of popcorn makes me sick.
Oh, I love popcorn.
I love popcorn, too. Which is weird. But if my wife makes popcorn in the microwave, I fly into a rage because I don't like the way that it smells up the house. I don't like the smell of it, but I eat it.
Would you rather have one of those air poppers?
Yes.
Is the microwave that bothers you of the microwave popcorn?
It's just the smell.
Yeah, but does the air popper have the same smell? I feel like it's different.
My old roommate, when I lived in North Park, he was a bartender, and I did morning radio, so really good combo. So he'd get home at 3 in the morning, and he would make popcorn. And the smell would wake me up, and it would make me retch every single time. I would wake up and go, God, son of a... And I would smell it, and it made me sick. So I can't really... I can't make it anymore.
I don't think... I never order popcorn when I go to the movie theater.
Do you not?
But my kids always want it. And then when they get it, it's always like the bottomless bucket. So I end up eating way more than I probably should.
I know.
So it's not like I dislike popcorn. I just never feel like it's worth ordering. Like, $9 for something that cost you 4 cents.
Juice isn't worth
the
squeeze.
Yeah, that's what I think too. But
I
then it's there and it's warm and it's like, all right, this isn't the worst snack on earth.
No,
I loved as a kid, though, the actual like plastic air popper machine with the, and they would come up and then pop out the top and, you know, start pouring into the bowl. I mean, I was fascinated by that whole process of how a little tiny kernel, like a little seed, just explodes into this puffy little delightful snack.
I like to put milk duds in my popcorn.
Really?
When it's warm and in. It's like a good, it's like caramel corn.
When I was in high school, we'd get, I'd go to the movies with some friends or whatever. We'd get the big buckets of popcorn, and then you get a bag or a box of M&Ms. Put that into the popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Kind of want popcorn now, even though I don't want to smell it. I just want to eat it.
Butter?
Plug your nose and eat it.
Butter? Butter on your popcorn?
A little bit. Not crazy. I don't like the greasy.
What is the movie theater butter? Because it's not butter. It's not like just melted butter. They have that like
pressed down,
It doesn't feel healthy. It certainly is not. But it's not really butter. What is it?
I have no idea.
Butter flavored something.
Hey, coming up on Wednesday on Ben and Woods.
We'll get to the bottom
butter
of it.
Talk.
We'll get to the bottom of it.
All right. Annie and Elston can continue our butter conversation, and well, I'm sure talk more about the start of the Padres offseason as they come into the studio. Next, for Paul Reindl, Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.